Today, our guest speaker is Mrs. Kim McIntyre, here to tell us all about her journey as the founder of our school. First, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your past?
Yeah, that'd be great. My name is Kim McIntyre, as Ruff just said, and I am married to John McIntyre. I am the mother of four: Caitlin, who is married to Jonathan; Heather, who teaches at NCA; Ryan, who is married to Mary recently; and our baby Daniel, who's a senior in college. Yes, God called us, John and I, to start the school over 25 years ago. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Our first question for you is, what has it been like to run the school for over 20 years, and what exactly did that consist of?
Yeah, the main thing I'd have to say about that is learning to trust God for everything from beginning to end. When I look back and I think about all the ways that God has worked, it is an amazing journey to look at. But when you say, what does it consist of? A lot of trial and error, a lot of figuring out what works, finding the things that do work and sticking with those, and looking at the things that don't work and thinking, okay, God, how can we do this better? How can we do it differently? It's been a huge blessing to see students like yourselves who came in at preschool and are going to be graduating next year as seniors. That's exciting. It's awesome to see all the growth in the school, from not necessarily size, which it has grown from 3, so definitely size-wise, to 130, but also just all the things that are offered and the faculty we have. And learn to trust God and pray about everything.
We were wondering, as a school that goes all the way from preschool to 12th grade, how do you implement Christianity into students' learning from such a young age, from or to all the way when they're graduating?
I feel like the best thing about teaching the youngest students is that you just get to create those habits and formation in them before they're even ready to acknowledge it and make that decision for themselves. So we have physical presence of God's word is always in our classrooms, always in front of our students. They're memorizing scripture, and then we're training them all day, every day, to be a loving Christian, one that loves God and loves others. So that means we're helping them to have good manners, respect authority, serve others. The list goes on. But I feel like we do those things, repeat them so many times that they're ingrained into their nature. So they know what it means to be a Christian before they get to the point where they're going to accept it and decide they're going to follow Christ for the rest of their lives, which is what we do in the second half of their journey. We hope that they do, and that they use all the things that they've learned at NCA in that journey.
Yeah, I definitely also feel that as coming to a Christian school and going out into non-Christian areas, this school has definitely prepared me in a lot of ways with my faith and knowing how to interact with other people. But why exactly did you decide to make NCA a classical Christian school as opposed to just a normal Christian school?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. First of all, I would say that God has a sense of humor, because he called an engineer, my husband, who became a lawyer, and a computer scientist, that would be me, to start a school. And neither of us had any idea outside of the fact that we had actually attended schools ourselves. That was about all we knew. But there was a steering committee at the very beginning that met for a year. And two of the women on the steering committee had homeschooled classically when it was not very well known and homeschooling itself wasn't even very popular. They knew about it. There was another girl on the steering committee that had read Douglas Wilson's book, Rediscovering the Lost Tools of Learning. So she brought it to the committee, and immediately we were all like, yes, that's what we want to do in education. So that's kind of where it started, was in that steering committee, and everybody agreed that was the way God was calling us to go. So it wasn't even a decision going in, like, oh, we're going to start a school, we're going to be a classical school. No, we were doing all the planning, and God revealed that.
What does the classical learning really consist of, and how does it blend into what Christianity is?
I feel like students who go through a classical school have a strong sense of their own identity, because they're required to look at so many things in history, in literature, in Bible, and because so much of it is discussion, we're going to sit around this table and we're going to discuss what we think about this, whether it's a literary character, themes in a book, a period of history, a passage of the Bible. And you can't do that and walk away without your own faith being formed. It's not possible. So I feel like those are the kind of things that help to steer our students. Even the little ones, though, I feel like are ones that are being formed and shaped towards that way, so that when they get to be our older students, right, they're ready to have those conversations. I feel like it's great that our students can really think critically. I think there's a lot of pieces that bring that together, right? We study logic, we debate, we have those discussions, those Socratic discussions, where require our students to be able to defend the position that they're taking, right? So that when they go out in the world, they don't see something or read something or hear something and instantly believe it without processing it. They want to be like, no, I need to think about what that's actually saying. And then I can decide whether I believe it, whether I want to defend it, or whether, no, that's not something I believe in. So I feel like those are two areas. And probably the third one that I feel like is comes that's great out of a classical Christian school is just the ability to communicate well, whether in oral form or in written form. Our students that leave here can really do that well. I do believe that is a fading art in our general population. So I'm very thankful for a classical school that's still holding on to developing those skills.
I know I used to feel like I lived a very sheltered life, and that being in a school all the way from preschool to now in high school, I felt like I don't know how to act out or act when I go out into the world. But through classes this year and the interactions I've had with friends outside of school, I've learned that this school has really helped me to know my faith and not be disturbed by anything out in the world that I don't believe in, and I'm able to differentiate between the things that I believe and the things that I don't.
Yeah. So it's almost like the reverse happened than what you thought. Oh, I'm in a small school, I'm sheltered, and yet you're exposed to so many ideas and conversations that you're like, no, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
And even within the Christian community, because it's a Christian school, not a Catholic school or a Presbyterian classical school, that because there are so many different branches of Christianity, I'm able to still discuss with different Christians and learn more about my faith through the faiths of it. Okay.
I know you, for this whole time, you've been talking a lot about how, like, the product of the, after you've been coming to NCA for a while, but how do you try to teach this classical Christian way to kids who don't normally think that way? Because I think, for me at least, like seeing all the different people who've come through our class, there's been a lot of kids who just, this isn't the right learning for them. But how do you try to gear this towards everyone as opposed to just like the certain group of people? Because NCA is a really challenging school in a lot of ways.
Mm. We probably the last 4 to 5 years, longer than that, we've really been seeking out and praying, how do we do that? How do we have the beautiful education we have here and make it accessible for more people? So over the last 4 or 5 years, we've added our Bridges program, which is a group of teachers that help students to be able to still stay in the classroom, do the work that's expected, help out with figuring where do they need accommodations, where do they need supports, and then Also, 3 years ago, we started the Towers program, which is for students who aren't able to be in the classroom. So we feel like that's been a great way for them to be able to learn in a small group setting with one teacher, the same types of content and methods that we're using everywhere else, but not to the same rigorous standard that we do, so that they're able to grasp it. I feel like that we're implementing starting next year a standard diploma we've always had an honors level diploma, and we're gonna add that standards level diploma. So I'm hoping that that also can help students that maybe the rigor is just too much for them, and maybe that will allow them to be able to stay here, because I feel like all of us, all the leadership really feels like classical Christian education is for every student. And there are limits to that, right? You have to be able to intellectually learn. So probably everyone might be too broad of a term, but I really feel like it's a place and we want to be able to find ways to include. At the same time, we want our students that are really desire to learn and to push themselves and to challenge themselves to be able to do that. So yeah, it's a challenge to always balance both, but I feel like the last 4 or 5 years we've started a path towards that.
With including everyone, I'd like to know why you decided to found the school for all ages and not just like, I know there are a lot of Christian preschools or a lot of Christian middle schools. Why the whole span of grades and not just a select few?
Mm. Good question. We didn't start out with preschool. We just started out with kindergarten, but we added a grade each year. And I think a lot of our goals were always based on the fact that the classical methodology, the beauty of the whole thing comes in 11th and 12th grade, right? And that doesn't mean, oh, the rest is wasted or it did. No, it's all those building blocks, but you really see the fruition of it as you get to be a junior or senior. So to stop short means you don't get to that beautiful part. And of course, you keep learning, right? College and the rest of your life. But we knew that we wanted to, in the beginning, I think that was kind of the mentality for everybody, is that our goal was to go through 12th grade. When we graduated our first seniors, we also added our preschool. It was in the same year. So we had people asking for the preschool for a long time. And I know you both were in that preschool, so you guys are glad we added it. But I feel like it really allows us to see the scope and sequence, if I can use that word, of everything we want a student to learn and all the skills we want them to have. We can see the whole scope and plan for it when we have everybody covered preschool through 12th in our school.
The next question, I guess, I want to go to, going off from what you were saying, is what exactly do you want the students to leave with, right? Because they've been learning all this up till now, and once they leave the school, what do you want? What's like one thing that you just want them to know?
Well, one thing. May I go through one thing? I have more on my list, but one thing I want them. Wow, sorry. I want them to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want them to know him, to love him, to walk with him through the good and bad. Sorry, emotional.
Okay.
But I have other stuff on my list.
You go for it.
That is the first and foremost thing. I want students to have confidence in who they are in Christ, to be able to have boldness to live for him, I love that we provide students with a foundational education that then allows them to learn for the rest of their lives. And I guess for me too, I love to see it when students are leaving here and they have, not that you have to have your whole life planned out, but I love to see them going out these doors thinking like, oh, I can really see God moving in this. I think I want to go to med school, or I think I want to be a writer, or I want to use my gifts and I love math. I want to be an engineer, or I'm not really sure what I want to do, but I know I want to help people. I want to serve people. I love to see the development of each person's individuality and them start to see how God's shaping them as a person. So that's another thing I would love for every student, I know it doesn't always happen, but I love for every student to leave here kind of starting to see a path of where God's called them to.
I've always wondered this, with new teachers coming in and teachers leaving, how do you decide when a teacher is right for the school that they love the Lord and want what's best for the students and want to have that personal relationship that we get in this school?
That is a great question. And I think that God has brought us a phenomenal amount of teachers, even as teachers have moved on, moved to other locations, you know, maybe moved into being a full-time mom or a full-time grandma. I feel like the thing we're always looking at when we're interviewing people is, can we tell from talking with them, from interviewing them, from what they write, that they love the Lord and that they're executing that and living it out in their lives? It becomes really evident when you're talking to people what's important to them. And I feel like the other part of it, when we're looking for people, is do they tend to have an understanding of what we want to do? It doesn't mean they have to be a classical education expert, but do they have affinity? Can they resonate with what we're saying when we're talking to them? I feel like when they get introduced to the existing faculty, mm-hmm. we get a good idea of how that's going to fit. And then also, they are passionate about their content. And you can just tell that when somebody walks in the door. And in the grammar school, they have to be passionate about all the content from every subject. But they, you could just tell they love children. And in the upper school, you can tell they love the books they're reading or teaching. They love the math they're teaching. Yeah. So, and there have been times where, in all honesty, we've made a decision to bring in a teacher, either because it was our only choice. And sometimes you wonder, oh, maybe God meant for us to hold off and not hire that person that is maybe not that great fit. But sometimes you do, because you need that position filled, right? You need somebody to teach the class. So there have been occasions where that's happened throughout the course of, you know, the history of the school. But I'm always amazed to see the new people that God brings, and, you know, how thankful I am to see all the way back in the beginning, the teachers who were first there. One served, Shannon Whiteside, served for many years as a teacher and then became a board member, served for many years as a board member. And then she and her husband moved to Indiana. And when she had kids, she stepped down from the board. But I even look back to people like that, and I always thought, oh, there won't be a person that will replace Shannon. But then God's brought multiple people in the grammar school that, and it never replaces that particular person, but it always continues on the great work that's happening.
Okay, I think our last question for today will be, how do you plan to continue the growth of this school?
Oh, yes, always. It's kind of exciting that more and more we have people walk in the door that are looking for us, looking for classical Christian education, right? They're like, okay, we know about this and this is what we want. So that's exciting. Still, the absolute best way, people search on the internet, we come up on the internet, we have good rankings. So people definitely find us that way, but word of mouth. People hear from someone, especially in the lower grades, when people are first starting to look at school, they'll hear from somebody, oh, I love my kid's school. And then they'll hear what they're doing. They're like, oh, I really want to be interested. So I feel like one of the goals that we have as administrators is just, how do we train our parents more to be better ambassadors?
That's good.
And we continue to pray and pursue finding a building that's our own. So that would be another way to grow the school. But we are trusting God for that one.
We just want to say a really big thank you to you for coming and taking your time out of your day to talk with us and help us better understand why we come to this school, and how it's going to impact our lives for the rest of our time here on earth until we go and meet the Lord.
Thank you for this. It's been great talking to you and learning more about this school and classical education. This is only our second episode, but hopefully it'll be a great one. Thank you for listening to DeCamus featuring Robert
and Ruff.